The journey to a smoke-free future can be a long and winding road, but if you're ready for a change, consider taking Zyn for a spin. Zyn nicotine pouches offer a fresh way to discover your nicotine satisfaction. Anywhere, anytime. No smoke, no spit, and no lingering odor. Get in gear with the Zyn 10 Challenge and enjoy 10 smoke-free, spit-free days for just $5.95. Order online and start your new journey today. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Pause for a big thank you to our partner making today's program possible. Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. Amazing. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, your exercise, and medication decisions. All those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and a lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Thanks, Dexcom, for being our partner.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on Sirius XM Triumph, Channel 132.
I had a dream, and then I turn on the lights and she's dead on the floor.
An aspiring pastor, 29, claims he had too much cough medicine. You heard me right, cough medicine. That made him stab his wife, his young, beautiful wife, 123 times. Whoopsie! Okay, and now we're learning a new development that maybe it wasn't just the cough syrup. He was obsessed with American Psycho. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us. We've got an all-star lineup to break it down and put it back together today. Dr. William Maroney, renowned medical examiner, famed criminal defense attorney based out of Connecticut, Mickey Sherman, New York psychotherapist Lauren Howard, and Crime Stories investigative reporter John Limley. You know, this guy, Matthew Phelps, ends up calling 911 in a very vague explanation of why is his young wife, they're still on a honeymoon for Pete's sake, is in the floor covered in blood. I want you to hear this. Listen.
I think I killed my wife.
What do you mean by that? What happened?
I had a dream, and then I turn on the lights and she's dead on the floor.
How?
I have blood all over me, and there's a bloody knife on the bed, and I think I did it.
Okay. All right, stay on the phone with me. I'm getting her ambulance, okay?
I can't believe this.
When did you wake up to find this?
I don't need to know what time it is.
All right, stay on the phone with me, sir. I just got to ask you a few questions, okay? I'm getting some help to you. Are you with the patient now?
Yeah, I can see her.
Okay. All right, how old is the patient? How's your...
She's 29.
Okay. Is she awake at all right now? What makes you think she's dead? Is she awake?
She's not breathing.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Okay, do you think she is beyond any help?
I don't know. I'm too scared to get too close to her.
Okay, just stay on the phone with me, sir. I'm here with you. I'm here with you.
I'm so scared.
All right, I've already sent the paramedics to help you, okay? I'm sending someone to assist you. Just please leave everything as you found it. Is there anything else we can do for you, sir? Where's the knife right now?
Knife's on the bed. I'm not next to it, so I don't have a weapon on me or anything like that.
Okay, when did you wake up?
I don't know. I took more medicine than I should have.
What medicine did you take?
I took horse-eating, cough and cold.
To investigative reporter John Limley. John Limley, in a nutshell, this guy says, he says it right then and there, that he had cough syrup. But what we learn is he didn't have a cold, John Limley. He was drinking the cough syrup in order to get a buzz.
Exactly. On this 911 call, he's telling the dispatcher that he had a dream in the middle of the night that he had killed his wife. And he awakes, turns on the lights, and there she is, dead on the floor. It's a nightmare come true, in his words. He says, I have blood all over me. There's a bloody knife on the bed. I think I did it. I can't believe I did this. He tells the dispatcher that he sometimes takes cough medicine when he has a cold or to help him sleep, and that sometimes he does things in his sleep that he doesn't remember.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Does things in his sleep.
Right.
To Dr. William Maroney, medical examiner joining us and author of a brand new book available on Amazon.com, American Narcan. Dr. Maroney, tell me about the cough syrup that he actually took, that basically he's blaming her murder on having too much cough syrup.
In these cough syrups, they have a cough suppressant that's called dextromethorphan.
Okay, slow it down. Right there. You're throwing all the big words on me like Mickey Sherman likes to do. Coricidin, H, happy, B, brother, P, Pennsylvania. Coricidin, HBP. What is it? What does HBP stand for? And could you please speak English, Dr. Maroney? Regular people talk, please.
All right. And I'll go real slow.
I'm not deaf. I just don't understand. Go ahead. That's like when I talk to my children, Dr. Maroney. I go, John David, mommy asked you to do X. And he goes, mommy, just because you're talking slowly, it's not helping. Okay, go ahead.
All right. So some of the cough syrups have a decongestant, and that decongestant leads to high blood pressure, which is a problem. So Coricidin has this, and it's well known for a decade that they have a formulation that doesn't have those drugs in there, that the side effect is high blood pressure. So if you have high blood pressure, you're supposed to drink, you're supposed to self-administer, you're supposed to use the Coricidin HBP. That stands for high blood pressure. But the active ingredient that suppresses your cough is called dextromethorphan. And that last half of that word, that methorphan, orf, it's an opioid like morphine. It's in the morphine family. And if you excessively intake that, it can lead you to the same kind of dissociative high as heroin. And that's why Coricidin is abused by teenagers. And it's obvious that this young man also has at time experienced the chorazin high. Now, if you take one or two teaspoons of it, it's not a problem. But these people mix it with pop and go through half a bottle in 30 minutes. That will lead you to an opioid high similar, very similar, as a heroin high.
Hold on. Let's take a moment. Alan, could you let me hear a little bit more of that 911 call?
What medicine did you take?
I took chloroquine, cough and cold, chloroquine, HCP, cough and cold, because I know it can make you feel good. So a lot of times I can't sleep at night.
Okay.
I took some.
All right, so.
To Mickey Sherman, Connecticut-based criminal defense lawyer, renowned attorney, Mickey Sherman, you know that voluntary use of drugs or alcohol is not a defense. So where can he go, especially in light of the most recent development that he's obsessed with American Psycho? Take a listen to the trailer. This is what he's obsessed with.
I don't think I can control myself. If you stay, something bad will happen. I feel lethal, on the verge of frenzy. I think my mask of sanity is about to slip. Do you have any witnesses or fingerprints?
Actually, yes.
I know my behavior can be erratic sometimes.
Hey, Paul! Ah!
So, what do you do?
I'm into, murders and executions mostly.
I have all the characteristics of a human being, but not a single clear, identifiable emotion. I simply am not there.
I just had to kill a lot of people.
That's not helping anything, Mickey. American Psycho, the slice and dice movie. In fact, he's got a photo of Christian Bale, who played the lead role, the killer, covered in blood on his, I guess it's Facebook. That's not helping anything, Mickey.
No, clearly this is the beginnings of an insanity defense. There's nothing left.
Lord.
There's nothing left that is in reality any type of valid defense. And when you've got 120...
What, you mean he was insane after the cough syrup and then he regained his mind after the stabbing?
That's right. It was ephemeral. It goes back and forth.
Okay, do you really think anybody's going to believe
that?
It was cough syrup induced. And, I mean, how can that be insanity?
Who would believe that the Harvey Milk case would exist where somebody used as a defense that they had too much sweetened cookies and Twinkies? You never know what's going to work.
That's the Twinkie defense, guys, where a killer... you're referring to the death of the mayor of San Francisco, correct?
Yes.
Where the defense was he had too many Twinkies. Well, that's San Francisco. Okay, so that's basically a whole nother justice system in California. No offense, California. I love you deeply. But you are stuck with the Twinkie defense, California. Not the rest of us. You. That's on you, California. But what about this? Him posting pictures of himself as American Psycho's main character, Patrick Bateman, to his Instagram, covered in blood, where he describes him as a radical dreamer, writer, and entrepreneur. He's a murderer. He's American Psycho. And he actually posts himself as American Psycho. Mickey Sherman, he was fully sane.
Well, that's for a jury to determine. Also, the fact of 123 stab wounds, that is way beyond conventional murder. It's a passion that just doesn't seem to be... equaled or justified by anything in his defense. But I think you will have the psychologist and psychiatrist addressing the 123 number very significantly.
Well, I think you're right about that, Mickey, because if you'll recall the woman that tied the husband up, I guess it was the husband, and stabbed him about 100 times, and they reenacted it in the courtroom. Of course, she was convicted. But I want to make sure that we all know that Bayer, as in Bayer aspirin, that creates this chorazin HBP, says the medicine is not known to cause violent outbursts. You know what? Mickey, since you managed not to give me any real answers, but to just muddy the water, which is your job, okay? Let me go to a shrink. Lauren Howard with me, New York psychotherapist. Lauren, welcome.
Hi.
To SiriusXM 132 and crimeonline.com. Long time no hear. Glad to have you.
Listen, good to be here.
Lauren.
By the way, loved your show. Watched it the other night, Nancy. Fantastic.
I guess you're talking about A&E where Dan Abrams and I have a throwdown.
I am. Grace versus Abrams. Fantastic.
Listen, you got to tune in Thursday night. A&E, 11 p.m., where we go at it.
It's already set on my DVR.
Over Drew Peterson's missing, quote, quotes missing fourth wife, Stacy.
Can't wait.
Back to this guy.
Yes.
Phelps.
Yes.
He then, at the scene, let's just follow. Mickey Sherman can throw out a defense. Let me tell you something. I've seen it work, too.
That's his job.
Yeah. Let's follow his line of reasoning down the garden path he's leading us down with temporary insanity. Because when police finally get there, he breaks down sobbing and crying and heaving and holding himself and says his wife did not deserve this. So suddenly he snapped back to reality. I mean, is that how insanity works? You're only insane for the moments of the murder?
Well, yeah. I mean, yes, insanity can work that way. A schizoaffective disorder would work that way. However, here's the bottom line, Nancy. First of all, heroin, morphine, anything that's like it does not create a violent reaction. Most drug abusers who abuse those particular drugs, I'm not talking about methamphetamines, I'm not talking about cocaine, I'm talking about really more depressive drugs, do not create a violent response. So how did this happen? Does it create a sort of an inability to focus on reality? Yes. But the inclination has to be unconscious in order to act out in that way. So, and we know this guy was obsessed with American Psycho. What that meant to him, I don't know. It's a black comedy, American Psycho. It's, you know, it's how deeply he delved into the meaning of the film or the book versus his own pathology, I don't know. But I can tell you this. There is no way that the drug made him do it. His unconscious motivations made him do it. And that's why it occurred. The guy is obviously, I mean, there's no, you can defend him, you should defend him, everybody deserves a defense. But this guy had a very dark underside that his sleep in combination with the chorazin allowed it to dance. And that's what happened.
Let me tell you something. Jackie's waving a note at me furiously, and I'm getting this straight from, what am I reading right now? I've been up reading it all. This is from the Charlotte Observer. This guy, the husband, the 29-year-old aspiring pastor, he went to Bible college. He got his degree, I believe, but somehow he ends up not working in his chosen profession, but cutting grass. The wife is the one that had the job and supported the family. That's a whole nother can of worms. Not judging. This guy, Phelps, 29-year-old pastor would-be, accused of the cough syrup killing, was fascinated with the movie American Psycho, according to police. Now, this guy, 29-year-old Matthew Phelps, a Bible college grad, calls 911 a little after 1:10 a.m. to say his wife of less than a year, Lauren Hugelmeyer, was stabbed dead. That he had taken chorazin and woke up to find his wife dead and a knife in his bed. Okay, now we are learning in the last hours that he was obsessed with the horror film, slasher film, American Psycho, and he talked to friends about what it would be like to kill someone. Now, this is not just made up by me, and it's not made up by the Charlotte Observer. It's according to police search warrants. That puts things in a different light. To John Lindley, Crime Stories investigative reporter, a different light indeed.
Well, what we have learned about the pastor in training, so to speak, is, as you have mentioned, that he was working for a landscaping company. If you look at social media, their Facebook pages, you would never, ever match, in my opinion, the face you see with this loving wife with the voice that you hear on this 911 call. They just don't seem to match up. And we know that she was a wife that really worked hard to support her husband. She had been a Sunday school teacher as Phelps was studying to be a pastor. In the wake of the killings, it's inconceivable exactly how this path, these two paths where he is aspiring to be a pastor and aspiring to be this bizarre character from a movie could be one and the same person.
You know what's really freaky, Mickey Sherman? As if the stabbing 123 times is not freaky enough. With me, renowned defense attorney, Connecticut-based Mickey Sherman. He practiced all over the country. Mickey, listen to this. Not only is he obsessed with American Psycho, but if you go to his Instagram account, there's numerous photos of the scenes of the movie. And Phelps, this guy, the Bible student, dressed as the main character.
Yeah.
So he takes the time to, I don't know what, put his face, inlay his face over Bale's face in the various scenes depicting a serial killer. Well, who has time for that?
That was also from Hannibal.
I think I have 5,000, literally 5,000 unanswered emails right now. I'm going to check to get the right number. But who has time to put your face in Christopher Bale's body in scenes of American Psycho, the serial killer? Who?
Somebody who's crazy.
Oh, no. Why? What did I expect him to say? Dr. Maroney, okay, look, I know you're not a shrink, okay? You're a medical examiner. But, I mean, you're raising children, you're working like crazy, you're writing books, you're lecturing all over the country. Just, you know, as a juror, who is going to have time? What are they going to think? Who is going to have time to cut your face out and put it in to American Psycho scenes and then post them to Instagram?
I know that if my kids were to pick a movie and cut my face, I'd probably end up in Kung Fu Panda. But the issue...
I was about to see if it ain't Disney. I haven't seen it, but go ahead.
But the issue here is there is something that's just not copacetic, that somebody who aspired to be a man of God and carry moral and ethical underpinnings that can be so wrapped up in such a warped and twisted and dark piece of literature. There's some mental illness here that goes beyond what we can understand. And I agree.
Wait a minute. Whoa. You're jumping on the crazy bandwagon? You're on the crazy train with them? You really? Guys.
Crazy plus drugs. Crazy plus drugs.
Wait a minute. Wait. Let's just be clear about this. Under the law, which is the old McNaughton rule, which has been brought to our country from Great Britain under our common law, which our country was founded on, we use the insanity test of the old McNaughton case, which says that insanity under the law means you did not know right from wrong at the time of the incident. So how, may I ask to all of you, could he stab her 123 times, then have the wherewithal to make up a lie that he was asleep when it happened and he woke up to find her body? And it was dark, and he managed to go find the light and turn on the light. And whoa, what a surprise. There's his wife, Deb. I guess he slept through the 123 stabs and her fighting him, trying to live, running away from him, and her being pursued, and him holding her down on the ground as he stabbed her dead. He slept through all that, had the wherewithal to lie about it, had the wherewithal to blame cough syrup, had the understanding that she did not deserve this. He knew very well what he had done was wrong. I mean, did I get those facts wrong, John Limley?
No, that is the case. And police have charged Phelps with first-degree murder in the case. And as we've been discussing, there's now national attention with experts weighing in on these potential side effects of cold medicine and cough syrup. Interestingly, documents, we don't have a lot of details, but documents filed with the Wake County Magistrate's Office say the couple had been having marital problems before.
Oh, my stars. Jackie, who's here in the studio with me, and are furiously passing notes about the money. I mean, you know, Lauren, can we just put this out there to women? You know, when you get a man, if you can't help me, just don't hurt me.
Right.
You know what? I love you, honey, but bring in the house payment. Okay? Bring it in. Don't lay up on the sofa. Don't go cut the grass. You bring in a check. Okay? Bring it in.
She's not moving. Oh my God.
Okay, I'm going to stay here with you, okay? Just let's at least see if she's breathing, okay?
So
all right.
This by her.
Can you see her from where you're at?
Yeah, it's so bad.
Friends tell investigators, and I'm quoting from the police affidavits, the couple would argue frequently and had been disagreeing about finances, according to police. Matthew Phelps, I got to quit calling him Michael Phelps, the Olympian, because I don't think he's going to like that very much. Let me make it clear. There's no relation. Okay. Matthew Phelps, quote, was spending more money than the couple made.
Mm-hmm. Follow the money.
And Lauren, the wife, who had a second job trying to sell candles and home smell goods, scents, online on Facebook. Jackie, look up the name of her business that she was like a sales rep, like Tupperware. She would sell...
Scentsy,
yes. Scentsy. Thank you. Who said that? John Limley?
It is indeed.
So Lauren was now working a second job. I remember it's bringing back the days I had three jobs, one during the day and two at night. Lauren Phelps had recently taken drastic steps to limit her husband's spending and was, quote, preparing to end the relationship. Now, Lauren Howard, New York psychotherapist, before you jump off about insanity, just tell me, this is a yes or no. I now have you on cross-exam, Lauren.
Yes, ma'am.
Isn't it true that when women have been abused, they are more likely to be killed when they are either pregnant or try to leave the relationship?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh. There's no question about it. And this, you know, this whole cough syrup thing just angers me because all of a sudden, if someone is drunk and they commit a murder of 123 stabbings, they get off for insanity because they're under the influence? I don't think so. You have to have the impulse. And perhaps the impulse is suppressed when you're not under the influence, but once you are, that it's released. Your id is
This is Mickey. Can I tell you what's missing?
Oh, I think I hear Mickey Sherman jumping in. Go ahead, Mickey.
You know what's missing? Here's what they have to find. They have to find the Amber Fry in this case.
Oh, Lord. You mean another woman isn't American Psycho with his face?
Yep. Find the Amber Fry. That's what I said in the Peterson trial before they ever found her.
You did.
That's what's
he did say
here.
That.
And they will find her.
He did say there's got
to
be a woman out there.
I don't think they have to look that far. Why do they have to look that far? Why do we have to have another woman? The guy stabbed her 123 times. I mean,
Lauren.
If he wanted to get rid of her, if that was the intention, he could have done it much more easily and with less hysteria and drama.
What about a divorce?
Well,
I mean, am I the crazy one here? But what about a divorce?
Spending all the money?
And where did the knife come from? Where? What?
What about all the money? He's spending all the money.
Yeah,
where
is the money going? Hold on, guys. Before we get too crazy here, listen to this. Detectives obtain a total of 7 search warrants to see cell phones, information from their Facebook accounts, the townhouse they shared, and their vehicles, a Ford Fusion and a Mitsubishi Outlander. Investigators used these warrants to seize electrical devices, handwritten documents, and 2 books, Party Games. I don't know what Party Games is. Jack, can you Google it? And American Supernatural Tales from the home. Handwritten notes and a diary were seized from the vehicles. Now, the investigators found blood on Phelps when they got to the couple's home, and the detectives reported finding evidence suggesting, get ready, wait for it, he cleaned himself up before calling 911.
Great.
Major problem for the defense. Okay, I heard Lauren snort first, so I'm going to go to her. Lauren, the significance of evidence of a cleanup.
There's no question. He knew what he had done. He was aware of it, and he was aware it was wrong. I mean, he said it on the phone on the 911 call. He said, I think I did this. And so the cough syrup is just, you know, it's an excuse, but it's not, it doesn't get him off the hook. Like, you know, listen, we've seen too many of these trials go sideways and what seems so clear not leading to a conviction. But I cannot imagine any jury on the planet letting this guy off.
Okay, Mickey Sherman, I just had to let her in before you because I know I wanted to give you at least 30 seconds to spin the cleanup. The cleanup he did before the police got there. Before he called 911, he had tried to clean up the scene. Mick?
Maybe he's just a fastidious person.
Thank you. I should have seen that one coming. To Dr. William Maroney, medical examiner extraordinaire. Dr. Maroney, author of a brand new book, American Narcan, which is awesome. You can find it on Amazon, to fight our war on opioid addiction in the U.S. Dr. Maroney, what does it mean when police or crime scene techs, quote, find evidence of a cleanup on a scene like this? What are they talking about? Break it down.
Well, the first thing is the primary crime scene will have a large amount of blood with that many stab wounds. So some of the blood has either been removed or cleaned up, and he personally has been cleaned up. When you look at that amount of blood, the body just keeps pumping it out and pumping it out. It looks drastic if you can reduce the amount of blood that they find in the pictures that are taken that will be used against him later. People will say, well, you know, he killed her, but it didn't look that bad. He's trying to make it not look bad. He is guilty of a heinous crime. I don't blame it on the cough syrup. I just put out there that these chemicals, these drugs, can make you do things, including get sleepy, but dissociative and reduced impulses. When he has to clean up a crime scene, that shows he was competent. It shows he understood that he needed to clean up. So the drugs really didn't affect him that bad.
Dr. Maroney, for instance, if you go in there, if crime scene techs, CSI, goes in with, let's just say, Luminol, and there had been a cleanup, what would the, of course, there's blood all over her, there's blood on the sheet, she's been stabbed 123 times. But explain to me forensically how they can tell blood from the murder, how they could differentiate that from cleanup. How? What's the difference?
Well, he's trying to take blood off of walls that's been splattered. You can't see it unless you come back with ultraviolet light and Luminol. They'll check the washer and dryer, and they'll find towels soaked in blood. If there's blood splatter on furniture, if there's blood splatter on appliances and the weapon, we haven't really talked about the weapon except the number of times she was stabbed, cleaning the weapon and trying to maybe clean up his fingerprints, not just the blood. So there's a number of things, reducing the amount of blood that you can see on the wall, but later they can take a Luminol and test spots in the carpet, spots in the floor, spots on the wall. Blood splatter is also an important part of the crime scene, and he'll try to reduce the amount of splatter.
This is how I put it in regular people talk. Thank you, Dr. Maroney. I think I got what you said. But for instance, this weekend, it's Easter weekend. I was with my mom at her home, and I saw where she had spilled coffee down a windowsill where she had turned the corner and some of the coffee had splashed onto the windowsill and then it went down the wall. So I got some kind of cleaner and I squirted it and wiped it all off with a paper towel. It was everywhere. If that had been blood and you went in with Luminol, it shows up like black light. You say black light poster? That's what it looks like. You would see wipe marks. You would see horizontal marks that I left behind, which are naked, which are invisible to the naked eye. But under Luminol, you would see that pattern going back and forth horizontally where I wiped it with a paper towel. With the lights on and no Luminol, you wouldn't see a thing. But with the Luminol on, which makes blood show up like a black light poster, you would see that pattern as opposed to blood spatter, S-P-A-T-T-E-R, blood spatter, which comes from the stabbing. Like pinpoint marks of blood spatter everywhere. Then there's, quote, throwback, when you stab somebody and then you bring the knife back up into the air, blood throws back off the knife. That gives you a different blood pattern. Then there's dripping. For instance, think of Jodi Arias and Travis Alexander. As he was dying, he looked in the mirror and blood dripped off of his face, and there was a blood drop, several drops. They're perfectly round, like little bitty pools of blood. That's a blood drop, blood spatter, throwback, cleanup. They all look very, very drastically different upon close inspection. I think I said that correctly. Mickey Sherman, did that make sense?
It does, but so often, I'm not saying it's totally junk science, but even the best of the pathologists and the forensic people sometimes just kind of shave the edges of the jigsaw puzzle to make it all fit. So I'm not the biggest proponent.
Can we talk about the money? John Limley, Crime Stories investigative reporter, what can you tell me about the money? What was he spending money on? Oh, by the way, Jackie managed to pull up, what is it, Party Games? Is that the name of it? It's a horror book or series by Stein. Now, I think it's R.L. Stein. You probably all saw the movie with one of my favorite actors, Jack Black. Awesome. I fell in love with Black during Nacho Libre. But he... And Stein, they're all horror books. Typically, started off for children, scary stories for children. Then it turned into like scary stories for tweens. Then they got scarier and scarier. This is a scary R.L. Stein story that he had. But I'm more concerned about his face being stuck into American Psycho scenes about a serial killer. But John Limley, can we get back to the money?
Right. Those search warrants you mentioned earlier, where they were looking into these possible money problems. Well, those newly released documents give us a little glimpse inside Lauren Phelps' mind in the weeks leading up to her murder. You also mentioned those devices that were seized. Those included cell phones, and they were able to read text messages where Lauren was communicating with family and friends. And in one text message, she said she was tired of arguing every single day with Matthew, and that she, quote, may be done with the relationship in no small part because of this money that was just disappearing.
Could you, who was it that said that she was selling Scentsy? What is Scentsy?
Scentsy is simply a site where you can buy all sorts of scented products, like the name implies, whether it's those oil infusers, candles, just different, as my grandmother would say, smell goods for the house.
John Limley, you seem to know a lot about oil infusing and potpourri. I'm not going to go there with you.
I will tell you that because of her sensitive nose, when Jackie comes over to visit, I have to hide all of that.
It's Jackie. That's right. Jackie, you're causing a lot of problems today. So what about that, Lauren Howard? The wife works all day. I think she was an accountant. She went to school for that. She is an accountant. She has a day job. And at night, the night before she died, she was posting Facebook videos trying to get people to buy Scentsy. I'm looking at it right now. Right. It's room sprays, a scent circle. I don't know what that is. A Scentsy bar. Ooh, accidentally in love room spray. What else am I needing? All you need is love room spray. I don't know what a scent circle is, but he's right. John Lindley's right. Apricot vanilla, blue hyacinth, caramel sugar cone room spray. It just goes on and on and on. So he's right.
Right.
So she works all day and then comes home and tries to sell Scentsy on Facebook while her husband's laid up on the sofa eating chips.
Right. Right.
He had a hard day mowing the grass, didn't he? Didn't the husband have a hard day mowing the grass?
I don't know. Did he work?
Didn't he have a hard day mowing the grass?
I don't know. Whatever. Let me find that out. Hold on, John Lindley. How often did he landscape?
You know, I have not come across a lot of details from that, but it was keeping him busy at least a couple of days a week while he was also studying for the pastorate.
Okay. With that in mind, Lauren Howard, go ahead.
I mean, we're not here to judge who was working harder.
I am.
We know. No, it doesn't matter. We know that she was dissatisfied with the relationship. This isn't a divorce court where we have to decide whether or not she was right to be dissatisfied with the marriage. She was dissatisfied with the marriage. She had articulated that to friends and family. Clearly, he knew that. This is all about what's going on under the surface for him, what his concerns are, what his fears, what his need for survival is about. And so his impulses, which are hidden beneath sobriety, if you will, get released by him having a mind-altering substance in him. His choice, by the way, he's the one who took the cough syrup and took too much of the cough syrup, which he also admits. And quercetin is being abused by teenagers. It's a rampant problem because it's
he's
something
not
that can
a teen.
Hide, can buy it
he's
over
pushing
the
30. He's got a Bible college degree. He hasn't gotten
but
a job
over,
or a church.
But he purposely overused quercetin.
He says that
and
actually
it does
on the call.
Affect your mind.
So, Dr. William Maroney, you're raising a bunch of children just like me and working. I can just tell you this. I'm not sure what Lauren and Mickey Sherman are talking about the hard day cutting grass, but I can tell you this much. If I am going to work two or three jobs and raise the children, when I get up and go and put my feet on the ground and start working at 5:30 in the morning, my husband, God bless him, had better be up working too. I am not working two or three jobs for him to sit on the sofa and watch old movies. Okay, that's not happening. Luckily, I hit pay dirt and got somebody that works like a demon. So I'm happy, very happy that he has the same work ethic as me. But Dr. Maroney, how would your wife feel? Let's just make this personal. If she's out working like a dog and you're kicked back having your morning coffee when she heads out the door to work, that's not a good look, Dr. Maroney.
She'd make it really clear and call me a bum because she's that clear and transparent. And there is no other way you can describe a man married to a hardworking woman that's a significant meal ticket. He should be the provider and the protector. He's missing all these good Old Testament messages. He's really conflicted. I don't see him making any direction to being that biblical provider, protector, husband, and father in the future. This thing is so messed up. There are so many moral caveats. The conundrums here drown you. And then on top of that, you throw in substance abuse in somebody that wants to be a pastor. He needs recovery. He needs sobriety.
That actually says, Dr. Maroney, to his friends, gee, I wonder what it would be like to murder somebody. Before I get to that fun fact, Lauren Howard, New York psychotherapist. Lauren, see, I'm basing how I think things should be. This is not for everybody, but it's for me because I saw my dad getting up, doing whatever job the railroad gave him to do, working his whole life, 43 plus years on the railroad, and never complaining, no matter what job they gave him. Same thing for my mom. She was the same way. So I see. I think that's how it should be. And I don't expect everybody to share my view.
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you. But you know what? Not every lazy, couch-lying, non-work ethic husband stabs his wife 123 times. So the ethics of his behavior become irrelevant in the context of, is this guy guilty of a heinous crime? Which, by the way, where did the knife come from? Which would kind of prove premeditation if he had it in his night table drawer. I mean, where is this knife he used to stab her 123 times? Was that easily accessible? Did he get out of bed and go into the kitchen and get it? Was it a hunting knife? Was it a kitchen knife? Does anybody know? I mean, that's...
Let me find out. John Limley with me, Crime Stories investigative reporter. Where was the knife? Where did it come from? And what happened to it?
That information seems to be withheld. We just know that there was a bloody knife on the bed. Actually, it was on the floor by the time police arrived. One interesting thing on the going back to sort of his sort of prophesying his actions to come is his Instagram page. He had this alter ego that was more like the American Psycho character on Instagram. And in one photo on that page, he quoted the band Korn, stating, "I can't get out of bed. There is evil in my head. Just let me be." He also had a Tumblr page, and he wrote about his strange sleeping patterns. In fact, here's a direct quote from Tumblr. "Ever since I was little, I've had some strong activity with my dreams, nightmares, night terrors, sleepwalking, hallucinations, controlled dreams have all filled my life so far." He's really...
That was a real catch.
Yeah, yeah, he's really sort of predicting, so to speak, what's to come.
Just look at her right now. Tell me what you see. Is the chest moving? Is she breathing? Anything at all?
No, she's not moving at all. Oh my God. No, he didn't deserve this. Blood is dried on me.
It's dried?
The blood's not wet on me. The blood is dry. So I don't know when, I don't know what oh my God.
All right, well, at least we're going to at least try to help her, okay? All right, just give me this.
Oh my God. I mean, I can see her, but oh my God.
Mickey Sherman, renowned criminal defense attorney based out of Connecticut. Mickey, what does it mean to you? Because I think you and I have the same thought on this, that 44 of the wounds he inflicted upon his young wife were around the face and neck. 44 stab wounds around the face and neck.
A profiler would have a ball with that fact. And clearly, as I said, this was a crime of passion. And that's why you have such an egregious set of injuries, we've seen before. The woman who drowned her five kids in Texas.
Are you talking about Andrea Yates? Drowned her children. Yes.
Yes. If you recall, there's a woman who serially, one by one, drowned her five little kids in the bathroom. Yet she was not found guilty. By reason of insanity on her first trial. So as I say, there's no slam dunks in the insanity world.
Yeah, I hear you. I think that the jury is going to view a mother whose husband had her living in a school bus at one point and of five children with all these mental issues she had in the past. I think they're going to find him, they're going to treat this guy, Matthew Phelps, differently. I'm curious about the postings that Limley and Lauren Howard were talking about his sleep disorders, how close to the murder they were, because if they were very close and he's talking about his dream activity, was he pre-planning the murder? Because that night, John Limley, Crime Stories investigative reporter, didn't he say, "That night, I dreamed it"?
Yes, he told the 911 dispatcher that he had this odd dream that he had killed his wife and that he, quote, paraphrasing here, he awoke to find that that dream was true.
Long story short, we are just learning from search warrants that he had an obsession with American Psycho to the point that he would put his own face into movie scenes where the serial killer was depicted and talked to friends about what it would be like, the sensation of murdering someone. The case goes on, and all we can do for Lauren now is seek justice. Nancy Grace, Crime Stories, signing off. Goodbye, friend.
Zyn nicotine pouches deliver nicotine satisfaction anywhere, anytime, which means Zyn pairs well with you, your personality, your schedule, and your spontaneity. Zyn fits easily into your bag, pocket, and into your life because it's smoke-free, hands-free, and hassle-free. So the only person who will know you have a Zyn pouch in is you. Visit Zyn.com or head to your local convenience store today to find your Zyn. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.